going to talk about the scene this today, and our title is A Vision of Almighty God. A Vision of Almighty God. I believe one of the aspects of our receiving the deeper life teaching over the years is ultimately to give us a vision of Almighty God. And we're going to open up this evening that without this, you cannot really go deeper with God. Because a vision of Almighty God centers everything upon Him and through Him. With regard to your life, what God is doing through your life, your circumstances in the world, and everything. Everything has to go back to a point. And for us, of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to turn to Hebrews 11, because there is a character in there who did precisely that. And I'm only taking one verse out of this, in Hebrews 11, chapter 11 and verse 27. Hebrews 11 and verse 27. And it's speaking about Moses, the faith of Moses, how Moses was called, how he was hid, preserved, and how God had a calling upon his life, the same as each of us are called by God. The same God that called him is the same God that has called you and me as well. And in verse 27 it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's really what I want to look at, is the latter part of that verse. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that exactly how God reveals himself to us. We don't see him yet, but we shall one day see him face to face. Until then, like Moses and all the saints of old, we walk by faith, looking to Christ, the author, finisher of our faith. We look to him who is invisible. This is why, of course, they will say to us, well, if you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, well, where is he? That is often what comes out. And that is the principle that we walk by. So we're calling this teaching today, A Vision of Almighty God. Moses endured not because of moral principles, or he was devoted to some project or goal, or whatever it was he was trying to build or do for God. Nor was it his sense of duty to God, but because he had a vision of God. And that's what sorts it out. And this is why you have to be truly born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Because when you are born again, you are given a vision of God. And that vision becomes enlarged more and more as we walk with him. He is the goal. He is the prize. Everything else is completely secondary. So he was not devoted even to the project of Israel, Israel being called out of slavery, out of bondage, and God making covenant with Israel. All of that was important and had a place, but that wasn't his vision. His vision to enable him to go on and endure was that he saw God. You see, a vision of God is not devotion to some cause or issue. It's none of those things. There are so many who are devoted to something or some project or some church or denomination or some ministry or minister, you name it, whatever it is, and that's where their faith, their Christianity is built around. God has never called you for that. He has called you to behold and see him and him alone. And that is what sorts out the men, the boys. You see, one is devoted to God himself. And that is our motive. That is my reason that I follow the Lord. That is why I am a believer. And can I go on to say that that is why we should be even here tonight in this room? For that purpose, that I follow God himself. And wherever he is, and wherever he is speaking by the Spirit, I am there to hear and learn from him. Everything else is secondary. Even the vessel that God is using. And you know when the vision of God is there, when God is speaking. How do we know? By the quickening, by the unction of the Spirit. That is why we make so much of the fact that the anointing is essential to be taught by that anointing. And God, of course, places that anointing upon his vessels. And that is why we have in Ephesians 4, God is setting again in these last days the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the maturing and perfecting the saints and their ministry and so on. In other words, those five ministries called by God, not by man, prepare the body of Christ, prepare God's people. And the ultimate preparation through their ministry is that they lead you to God Almighty himself. That is the nature of those ministries and callings. If they are placing themselves in any other position, it is not of God. If they're trying to build their own empires, their own ministries, that is not how God works. Everything is built by God himself. He is the master builder. He is the one who has laid that foundation, that rock, which is Jesus Christ. You build on anything else other than that, it will not stand, as the Bible clearly shows us. But that, brothers and sisters, is a very fine line. A very fine line. And so we know if God is present by the quickening of the Spirit and its inspiration to us. In other words, it inspires us. When God is present, when God is teaching, when the anointing is present, God inspires us. He raises us up to another level. It's nothing to do about feelings or emotions that can have a place. It's about our faith being touched. Because the reason we are taught the Word of God is ultimately that God gets to our faith. Because without that faith, it is impossible to please Him. It can only be faith that moves these mountains. And so it's absolutely paramount that the Spirit inspires us, quickens us, raises us up in order to do those exploits for God. So that is why a vision of Almighty God is absolutely essential. It's not going to work otherwise. You will just find yourself just going around, not growing, not developing, not knowing what God is doing or saying or what is happening in my life. We know very well this famous verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. For he says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." And that is really how we walk as Christians. It so often seems that God is tarrying, or it seems as though God is late. He didn't turn up when I wanted him. When that bill was needed to be paid at the end of the month, the money wasn't there. But God is never late. God has a perfect time in your life and my life. And note what it says in Habakkuk, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Now this vision, remember the title tonight, we're calling this teaching a vision of Almighty God, because that is what the believers need. He says here, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." God has an appointed time, both individually and corporately, for the believers. He has an appointed time for you, for your life, your walk, your consecration with Him. He will be on time. He will reveal Himself. He will show Himself as Almighty God in your life. There is a time for that, as well as for the church, for the overcomers as well. There is a time that He will reveal Himself, the appointed time for the body of Christ. And He says, at the end it will speak, and it will not lie, for God does not lie. God will vindicate all of this. God will reveal that Jesus Christ is head of His church. That is His called out remnant. At times it seems as though the body of Christ universally is a mess. Where is God? Where is the power and the glory of God? Where are the healings and the deliverances? Where are these greater works that we are believing for? The latter rain of the last day. We've had the former. He says, the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And that is why we're called, brothers and sisters, to the school of waiting. And we're not very good at it. We want it now. We want it tomorrow. But God has a divine appointed time, both individually in your life and corporately for the body of Christ. And that is in His infinite wisdom. He knows all things. He knows when we're ready. He knows when we're at that place to meet Him, to experience His glory, His blessings. He has to do that work of maturing and perfecting in our lives, in our hearts. If God were to give us what we wanted now, we'd probably be burnt up. We couldn't take it, or we'd all run away. So often, God is hiding himself from you and I and from the body of Christ because we will run away otherwise. His presence, his holiness will burn up, consume everything. So he is preparing us. He's clothing us with the robes of righteousness. As the bride is making herself ready, so he's preparing us for his presence. And in order for that, we stay with it. The vision is God himself. It's not your minister. It's not your spiritual brother or sister or father or whatever it is God himself revealing himself to you and I and to the body of Christ. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense. The whole thing will be just idolatry. You have been saved for God's presence personally, yourself, and it's between you and him. And woe to man who tries to get in the way and interfere with that, which so much in Christendom tries to do. Your covering is not a denomination. It is not a pope. It is not an elder. Your covering is the blood of Jesus. First and foremost. Of course, we respect those who are set in office. But as we say constantly, the ground at the foot of the cross is level for all of us, including me. So this vision we're speaking about is a vision of Almighty God himself. And he is going to reveal himself to you more and more and more in the most profound ways. God sometimes can reveal himself in the most minute and smallest of details. It's not always in the thunderclaps and the earthquakes. It's not always, as Elijah learnt. It is in the still, small voice of Almighty God. So though it tarries, wait for it. Now this isn't referring to patience. It's not conveying the idea that one is very strong and able to stand against all the assaults of the adversity, the enemy in other words. That's not what this means. Yes, we are to have patience as part of the fruit of the Spirit, but that's not what he's talking about here. You see, patience, endurance, is God himself. When I have a vision of Almighty God, I will endure. I will stay with it. Because I don't walk on my own. And that is the difference. When you find that this becomes a drudge, this walk, when you find that you become impatient and nothing's happening, you're not seeing God in your life. And that is what Habakkuk speaks about here. It's not about your strength, your patience, your endurance. It's about God himself. All strength and inspiration comes from him and him alone. The same as your life comes from him. Every breath that you breathe comes from him. He sustains your whole being. He is the very presence of your life, sustaining, keeping you from the evil one and from temptations. If he is, then none of this certainly will be here tonight. The very fact that we're here tonight in fellowship listening to this is a clear indication of his presence sustaining, holding us. So the vision is first and foremost Almighty God. The deeper deliverance that we are teaching and have been taught over the years is ultimately Almighty God himself. And that's how we stay in with all of this, because many have gone back. Many have gone to different pastures, thinking that the grass is greener elsewhere, only to find that often it's not. You know, there's nowhere to run, because you take it with you. And if you've had a vision of Almighty God, you will stay in there. You will only ever want to be wherever God is and where his glory, his presence is, and where he's speaking. And you may say to yourself, well, how do I know that? Well, you know, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. They know. God's sheep know God's presence. They know his voice. They know there's nowhere else. That is the point. And so, when we begin to see what Habakkuk really is, then what comes to you is energized by him. And so, everything, your endurance, your staying with this, is energized, is worked out through God in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and so forth. And so we can confidently say, I stay with this, I endure with this, because God enables me to do so. That is what gives him the glory. Because that's the very purpose of what he does in our lives. All comes from him. We're sustained and kept by him. It's energized to us. And of course, this can come in seasons. You know, there are times when he speaks, and there are times when it appears he remains silent. I'm reminded of Jesus, when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted for 40 days, well, at that time, who was the most vocal? Well, God was keeping silent, but the enemy was becoming very vocal. We know that because Satan spoke to him. But God was still with him. He was not separated from his Father. He still knew the one who was sustaining and keeping him in his flesh life. And it is exactly the same with us. And though the vision tarries, in other words, God isn't speaking at the moment. He isn't revealing himself at the moment. Where is the God that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee? All we're hearing at the moment, so often, is Satan who is vocal. But God is sustaining and strengthening us in those conditions, just like Jesus was kept and strengthened those 40 days in the time of temptation in the wilderness. Can you not see the parallel, brothers and sisters? How God's doing the same with us. Because it seems that the powers of darkness are more vocal than the Lord. But brothers and sisters, that will pass, as Habakkuk tells us. It may seem as though he's tarrying, but he is delivering, he's sustaining us, because we have to overcome our wilderness experience. And you may say to me, oh, I feel as though I'm failing it. You won't fail it because God Himself is sustaining, energizing you, keeping you in those conditions for a purpose, to mature and perfect you. If there was any other way, He would take you differently. But that's where He has us. This is why we have this wonderful analogy, don't we, in Revelation 12, of the man-child in the womb of the woman, preserved and kept. And where is the dragon? Right there, wanting to devour her man-child, the overcoming group of the last days, the first fruits. And it seems as though God has forgotten us. It seems as though I don't hear God like I once used to hear Him. I don't experience, I don't feel Him like I once used to feel Him. Well, your vision, your call from the foundation of the world is God Himself. Get that right and everything else will flow in accordance. But we so often at times get it round the wrong way, don't we? And so Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And Satan at that time was more vocal, it appeared, than God. But it was only for a season, was tarrying. There was an appointed time for him, the same as there is for both individually and corporately for us. You see, the power to endure is because you can see Him. And that is the whole point. And so, these tarryings in our lives, these delays in our lives, is that He's working so that we can see Him, experience Him, and not be distracted by other things. And that is the difference, you see. God knows how to do this. He has this completely under control. And so the power to endure is because you can see Him. And the proof that we have the vision is we reach out for more and more. If you have the vision of God in your life, there is something within you, an appetite within you that cannot be put out. You are continually hungry for more and more of God. It's very bad for Christians to be satisfied, complacent with God. And God will not let FGA and those who want to be identified with it, and others, brothers and sisters, and those in America as well, He's not going to let us be satisfied. The vision of God, Almighty God, which is God Himself, placed an insatiable appetite that wants more and more and more of Him. But God can only do that. And that is healthy. What does Psalm 116 say to us? Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. This is the great psalm where it's speaking of thanksgiving for deliverance from death and from the evil one. And he says here, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." There we are. You have taken up that cup of salvation. You call upon the Lord. That is a healthy spiritual appetite with Almighty God. We have to really be on our guard to complacency. A Christian who has the vision of Almighty God has that appetite, has that desire for more and more and more of Him. If we cannot have that with God, then we might as well just forget it. And this is why, sadly, so much of the body of Christ is just lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And we know what God says that He does with that. I will spew it out of my mouth. Wish to God that you are cold. And the only way you're on fire and hungry for God is when you have a vision of Almighty God, the same as Moses had. Moses continued in his ministry, and it was a very difficult ministry he had, leading over a million people, bringing them out of Egypt into the wilderness. That was not an easy ministry, one of the hardest you see in the Bible. But he was able to endure that ministry because he had a vision of Almighty God. And that is where he drew his source, his power, his energy, his will to go on. And if you do not draw from God, you will not have that will to go on when the trials come in. Because when we have a vision of God, it causes us to look away from our circumstances, from our trials, and the things that are going on around us. The power and presence of God is greater than your trials. This is why it's so important, brothers and sisters. Without a vision, my people perish, which we've just been looking at in Habakkuk. What is the vision? First and foremost, it is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. None other. Because it doesn't work otherwise. And this is why, sadly, so many professing Christians either compromise or go back. Because they have never drawn strength from the one who gives us this strength to be able to walk this walk. You can't do it otherwise. It's impossible. That's why it says it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Can't be otherwise. So for you and I to endure, to stay with it, we have to draw the power and strength from Almighty God in our lives. How do you think Jesus endured and went to the cross as he did? Because he drew from the strength from his Father. He tells us that. I can do nothing of myself. I can only do that which the Father reveals. He could not have gone to the cross in his own flesh. But the presence and power of God, the vision that Jesus had as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, enabled him to be able to fulfill the Father's will at Calvary. And it's exactly the same for you and I, brothers and sisters. Can't work any other way. Whatever your life, whatever you're going through, whatever the circumstances, whatever the temptation, the weaknesses, and we all have them here in this room tonight. You draw the strength to overcome from Him and Him alone. And there'll be many times when you put your head down before you go to sleep at night and you will just say, this day was a miracle. I don't know how I endured. I don't know how I overcame this, but you got me through. That is what our lives are about. That is what salvation is about. It's not about our strength, our achievement. It's about the one who lives in us, who brings us through for his glory. You see? So many have got it round the wrong way. I have done this for the Lord. I overcame this temptation. I did this for God and so on. No, we don't. It's the one who is in us that reaches out. You cannot love your enemy unless the love of God is loving through you, reaching out to your enemies. You can't do it otherwise. Impossible. Don't even try. And that is why we too take up our cross daily and we follow God as we yield to the Spirit, the same as Jesus yielded to the cross, and he let them crucify him. So we yield over and let the Holy Spirit do it in our lives, because we can't do it in ourselves. We won't endure, we won't stay with this unless we have a vision of Almighty God in our lives and in the church. You see, we look, don't we, for satisfaction within ourselves. I've arrived. I can do it my way. But you know something? As someone said this, and how true it is, our reach must exceed our grasp. Our reach must exceed our grasp. So what you can control and grasp, you've got to move further than that. You've got to reach out to things that is not in your grasp in the natural. And to endure and stay with this to the end is not within us in the natural. Sin has so eroded and so worked through mankind that we don't stay with anything if we can't get something out of it at the end of the day. And yet here God calls us and he gives a vision of himself, and that is all that is needed to sustain and keep us. Yet for some that would seem not enough. And yet what else is there than Almighty God? Nothing else exists. God tells us that in the Word. I am. There is no one else. There isn't anything else. Why are you looking for it? He is the source. I know that may sound elementary, but at times we can forget that, brothers and sisters. So don't ever think that you have arrived. This is why, as we close now, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So the apostle is quite clear here. He says, I have laid hold of Christ, and Christ has laid hold of me, and he knows nothing can divide that, can separate that. That's what God is working in you and I. And a saint who experiences that will endure and stay with it to the end. Why? Because he had a vision of God himself. We know that because who appeared to him on the road to Damascus? The risen Lord Jesus Christ. The same risen Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has appeared to you as well as me. No different. You see, the vision of God is more than you can ever experience. Whatever you have experienced thus far of God, there's infinitely more. This is why, as I close, and this is why I stay with a deeper like teaching it, we know it is an open door that no man shuts, and you can go through, and that is why the baptism of the Spirit is essential. It empowers you to go through into a deeper life and walk with God, and you can go as far as you want with Him, and you will, if He is your vision, if He is Almighty God in your life. He is that door. He shows you there is so much more you can experience of God in this life. We're not talking about when you get to heaven. We're still talking about here in this life. There's so much more to experience. And that is why we endure and we stay with it. We do that also because there's so much more of Him to experience. And you will experience. Although it tarries, wait for it. He won't let you down. God never lets us down. He will not let us down both individually and corporately as a church. And the churches in the last day, the remnant, the called out ones, He won't let us down. Because we have chosen Him to be head over us, and not a man or a system. That is how the church should be. We read that in the book of Acts. And that is what He's restoring. And so as we're in this time of restoration, Him restoring, He's restoring His presence, His glory, His power back to us. This apostolic faith, that is what's being restored back to us as believers in Christ. And it seems sometimes as though it can be a mess. It seems as though so little's happening. It seems so many are not interested anymore. Well, the fact is, you are, I am, and that is why we're here tonight. And that is all that God wants. When you behold the vision of Almighty God, you will see what will come as a result of that. Hallelujah. Father, thank you again for speaking to us, encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Father, you want us to stay with this, to endure to the end, but to do so, we look to Almighty God. You are our vision. It is you, and everything comes from you. Our life comes from you. Our confession comes from you. Our very faith to believe comes from you. Nothing is separated from you.